Well, this is a night we have our business meeting, and so we're going to have that in just a few minutes. And so if you're visiting and you don't want to stay for that, that's fine. You can get up and leave. If you're a member and you don't want to stay for that, you can get up and walk out and leave. So, but, you know, I don't have a long sermon or anything like that. In fact, I got home from the mission trip on Monday night. I got home about 11 o'clock, and so Tuesday was in the office, staff meeting, busy, and then just the day filled up, and then Wednesday came around, and it was a busy day, and then Thursday came around, and that was my day to try to catch up all those things. Y'all ever have a day where it's like you just got to catch up at home? You just need to get that stuff done that you've been, just putting off, and so had so many little messes and things I need to take care of, and then Friday came in the office, going to study all day. I wore shorts so I wouldn't have to, get out and see anybody because, I don't like to wear shorts when I go visit people. I mean, I think I have nice legs and everything, but I just don't like to go visiting in shorts, and so I didn't plan on doing it, and then found out Becky was in the hospital. By the way, Becky Dupree is in the hospital in Tifton. Wore shorts to the hospital in Tifton, okay? So she didn't mind. So, but I don't normally do that, ma'am. Okay, so she's better now, so we're thankful for that. But anyway, my plan was to study all day, so I got to service. Saturday was a pretty good day. And then, this morning I thought what's your name, Taylor? Taylor and Anna, they did a great job with the flags, and the service was nice, and kids did a good job singing, and I just felt like the sermon was just not just great, felt kind of flat. So I got home, and a lot of times I get what I call post-service anxiety. I always think about how things should have gone better or things could have been better. And so I just started feeling all this anxiety. Y'all ever get like that? You just get real anxious about stuff, and you start getting anxious. And so I knew I had to put together a message for tonight. I said, well, what am I going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a nap. Okay. But I went and laid down. I said, I'm going to get up at 27 minutes. I had how the clock was, 1:33. And so I was going to give myself to 2 o'clock. And so I woke up and got in there. And as I was just laying there praying and about what to preach, I thought, maybe I'm not the only one who deals with anxiety. And we can have anxious moments and anxious days in our lives, and this anxiety can sometimes become overwhelming. And the problem with anxiety is God said, don't be anxious. I mean, that's a command that He has given to us. And so I want you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at this just briefly, and we're going to look at a passage in Matthew 6:25. But I just want to talk to you briefly about this whole idea that God has given us this command that we are not to be anxious about anything. You say, well, there are some things that are, you need to be anxious about, you need to be worried about, but the Bible says something different. It says that there's not one thing that we should be anxious about. In fact, that's exactly what it says. I'm going to read Philippians 4:6-7, and I'm going to flip over to Matthew 6 and read passage of Scripture there. So let's just look at these two sections of Scripture. And says, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now I'll turn back to Matthew 6, and we'll look at verse 25 and following. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And so, one of the versions of the Bible doesn't use the word anxious. It doesn't say be anxious for nothing, but it says this, be careful for nothing. And I want you to think about that word. To be careful means to be full of care. Okay? Now, most of us think, well, you know, you ought to be careful about some things. You know, we tell our kids that when they go out, hey, be careful. Okay? And we want them not to be foolish, not to be doing crazy things. And so we tell them to be careful. But when it says this, it says be careful, and that means don't be so full of care that you have all this anxiety in your life and you're a worrying person. And here in Philippians, it means there's something going on and it's something you need to stop because it's an ongoing issue in your life. And that's the truth for a lot of people. We have this constant anxiety in our life, and Paul's addressing it in the Philippian church, and God's addressing it in our lives, because this is written to the Philippians, but it's also written to us. You know, the Philippian letter was basically a thank you letter that Paul was writing to the church in Macedonia and in Philippi, in that area, to say, hey, thank you for the words that you, or the gifts that you've given. But he also addressed some divisions in the church. Some women were having some problems in the church, and so he addresses that issue too. And I'm sure it's got the church leadership all upset, and it's got these ladies all upset. And so Paul just kind of gives this blanket statement, hey, stop with all of this anxiety. You know, one of the ways that you can interpret that word anxious is to exercise caution. You know, we can exercise caution to the point where we are just indecisive. We can't make decisions. We can't do anything. We can't take a step forward. We can't go backwards. We can't go to the right or to the left because we are so cautious. And life is not meant to be lived that way. That's not a life, in fact. And God doesn't want us to live with this constant, habitual, current anxiety. And Paul exhorts them. He commands them. He says, hey, this is something that you need to stop. And when he defines what they're worrying about, or what you should not worry about, he says not to worry. And when he says nothing, he says be anxious for nothing. And it literally means not even one thing. Now let me ask you this. What's creating anxiety in your life right now? You know, because after I had studied this a little bit, I felt the Lord wanted me to do a couple things. One is get a bowl of chocolate ice cream, okay? And the second one was just to go pray and get on my face in his presence and cast my cares on him. Okay, I felt like he said, you're worried about this, you're worried about that, you're letting this bother you, you're letting that bother you, letting all these things just eat your lunch. You're just going to pieces over all these little things in your life. None of them are life-threatening, but they're just little points of anxiety. And so I just got before the Lord, and I just said, Lord, this is bothering me. God, I'm just going to give that to you. God, I just want you to take it. And there were several things that I confessed to the Lord, or I just kind of put on him. Now, let me ask you this. What is it you're worried about? I mean, it can be something small. It can be something huge. It can be something current. It can be something future. It can be something to do with your kids, to do with your husband, to do with your parents, your grandparents. It can have to do with your finances. It can have to do with your spiritual life. You know, one of the greatest women in the world was Martha and Mary. Those were two of the great women. I mean, Jesus was friends with those. He spent the night in their house. I mean, he was there in Bethany with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And Jesus had to turn to Martha one time and say, "Martha, Martha." And he didn't say it once. He said it twice. "Martha, Martha, you're so worried. You're letting all these things just eat your lunch." He said, "But only one thing's really needful right now. And Mary's chosen the right thing." And at that moment, it was to be in his presence. You know, I think that our anxiety will dissolve if we truly get into his presence and tell him what we need. And so that's the Philippians 6 passage. Then we come to that Matthew 6:25 passage. And the word worry, it literally means a part of something as opposed to all of something. Okay? It means this. It has this idea that you are drawn in different directions. Does that ever describe your life? You're pulled in so many directions. You're pulled here, and you're pulled there, and you're divided into these parts. You're trying to go in opposite directions. We used to use that phrase, "I'm burning the candle at both ends," and that's a good way for you to have anxiety, is to try to do too much. And this A.T. Robertson said this about this word. He said, "It literally means to go to pieces. You're being pulled apart in different directions, and there is a force being exerted onto you, and it creates sinful worry, and it causes you to go to pieces." Paul writes to the Philippians about this anxiety. Jesus talks about worry in Matthew 6, and Paul gives an antidote to worry, and the antidote to worry is to pray. I read a Charles Spurgeon sermon today on this verse of Scripture on Philippians 4:6. Let me just tell you, you want to read some great sermons, go to SpurgeonGems.com, and they're all of Charles Spurgeon's, and they're written in an easier to understand language than the one he preached them in. He preached them in English, but it was hard to understand. And he preached about this, and one of the things he said, he always was very good with words, he says, "Turn your cares into prayers." Turn your cares into prayers. And so you got something that you're very careful about, and then you're overly caring about it, and you're anxious about it. He said, turn that into a prayer. And that's the cure for worry. Is when we get to God, we go to God, we address God in an act of worship and devotion, and we say, "God, this is my care. I'm giving it to you." And so replace your care with prayer. He says to supplicate. It means to supplicate for one's needs. It means to tell him what you need. You know, most of us, some people say, "Well, you know, I mean, God already knows what I need. Why do I need to tell him?" Spurgeon says in his sermon, he says, "Tell God what you need as if he doesn't know." And he says, and what happens in that situation is, when you begin to tell God what you need as if he doesn't know, what happens is you begin to realize really what you need. He said, because you pray for something, you pray for something, you pray for something, and God doesn't answer that prayer, he doesn't respond to that prayer, God might be telling you, "You know what? You really don't need that. So don't worry about it." But as we pray, tell God what we need, we request him. It says, make it known to God. Make your requests known to God. Charles Spurgeon calls that intellectual prayer. We have got to stop going to God with generalizations. Okay? "God, help me." I pray that a lot. I do. Dana's around the house, and all of a sudden I'll say, "Oh, Lord, help me." You know, she's like, oh, here he goes again, you know. Oh, God, help me. And sometimes that's a prayer we pray. But you know what? We need to get very specific with God. God, and get very detailed. Tell God what you need. Just tell Him. Make requests. Specific requests. Don't be general with God. He does know what you need, but you need to say it. You need to say it in specifics. Anxiety is always out of place in the presence of our Heavenly Father. But your specific requests are always appropriate in the presence of your Heavenly Father. And then Paul writes to the Philippians, he says, and when you pray, you tell God what you want. It says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. One of the versions says, shall keep. The literal visualization of that is that when you take your needs to the Lord, God's peace, which passes all understanding, shall mount up a guard. Okay? Shall mount up a guard around your heart. And He'll protect you. It's like a soldier on a stallion. A few years ago, I got to go to England, and we were outside of Buckingham Palace, and I'm telling you, I saw a lot of stuff in England. Most impressive thing I saw were those horses outside of Buckingham Palace. I mean, they were this tall. I mean, they were big horses. I was looking up at that girl like, good night. How do you get a horse to be that big? And that's kind of the picture I have of God putting this guard around my heart. One person wrote this, says, every evening I turn my worries over to God. He's going to be up all night anyway. Okay? So stop letting your anxiety keep you up at night. When we choose to worry, we are substituting God's all-sufficient power for the preoccupation of worry. And don't do it. When we take our request to the Lord, we ought not worry, because let me give you a few things. I'll be done. First of all, God knows what you need before you ever ask Him. He knows all the things that you need. He even knows better than you do what you need. God's resources are immeasurable. The birds don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, and yet God invests into their clothing. He invests in the clothing of the grass of the field. The lilies of the field are clothed in greater splendor than Solomon in all of his glory. And if God invests in birds and flowers, making sure that they're well clothed and they're taken care of, don't you think God will invest in you and take care of you? God is creative. He knows better how to take care of your problems. It says that Solomon, and you can imagine how creative Solomon must have been. I mean, he was like, you read the Solomon and his writings, you read the book of Ecclesiastes, and you read all the things that Solomon did. You read about how the Queen of Sheba came and she examined all the things that Solomon had and all that he accomplished and all that he did. And he was a master engineer. He was a master zoologist and a master botanist. And he named all these flowers. He named all these things. And he was such a creative person. And it says that the Father in heaven is more creative because He can clothe the lilies of the field better than Solomon can clothe himself. And we also need to be reminded about the love of the Father. The love of the Father. He says there in that Matthew passage, aren't you more valuable than all those things? Many things worry us. We ought to take them to the Lord. If you don't remember anything, remember this. Turn your cares into prayers. Okay? Father, we thank you for the way that you move and the way that you work. God, I know that some of us have physical problems because of the anxiety in our lives. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to get beyond that. I pray that, God, life would begin to be a joy again rather than this life of anxiety. God, thank you so much for releasing us of all those burdens when we're willing to bring them to you. And now I'm going to ask the church if there's something that you are just carrying by yourself, maybe you just have this tremendous anxiety, I'm going to invite you tonight to come and just kneel at this altar and just turn that over to God. If you're worried about your kids, you're worried about their future, you're worried about finances, you're worried about something spiritual in your life, maybe there's a sin that you just is causing anxiety, you can't get through this sin or beyond this sin, and you just need to come and just lay that and turn that over to God. You just come on as we begin to sing this hymn of invitation. God, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.